You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Analytics Tuesday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Saints assistant head coach and tight ends coach Dan Campbell is set to depart on Wednesday to take over the new head coaching role for the Detroit Lions. What his departure means for the team, while another position coach looks to figure out his way to the NCAA, two big losses for the Saints coaching staff on the horizon. If Sunday really was the end of an era, Drew Brees' legacy will be in conversation for a short while, but what about after the initial dust settles? We'll discuss what those conversations are going to sound like in the near future before the future Hall of Famer gets his gold jacket. And finally, it is Analytics Tuesday after all, so we'll get one more game-focused analytics breakdown of Sunday's loss, as well as top 2020 performers for the Saints. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the Locked On NFL podcast. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Potentially two big losses upcoming for the New Orleans Saints coaching staff as Sean Payton's crew puts together a fourth consecutive successful season. We'll start off with the most certain of the two upcoming moves, Saints assistant head coach and tight end coach Dan Campbell on his way to coach the Detroit Lions, taking the head coaching job there. Dan Campbell has been with the Saints since 2016, serving in his role through four playoff appearances over the five seasons that he was with the Saints. He also served as the interim head coach of the Miami Dolphins for 12 games in 2015, going 5-7 after spending 5 years with their staff. Dan Campbell was selected as the new head coach of the Detroit Lions, and there are a couple of big reasons why he ends up getting that opportunity after Robert Saleh ended up going to the New York Jets. Campbell's two biggest sells are that he has worked with and learned under head coach Sean Payton for the last half decade, as well as his ability to quote-unquote bring a team together, according to ESPN. They weren't necessarily looking for the big X's and O's coach. They were looking for the guy that could create some community and create some buy-in, essentially, amongst their program, which has had a lot of trouble here over the last few years, especially through those really horrific Matt Patricia head coaching days. Campbell basically gets an opportunity here to begin another branch of Sean Payton's head coaching tree following Doug Marrone, of course, who was recently let go by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lions team president Robert Wood did say that he wanted somebody with some head coaching experience, or at least projected it, and someone that could work well with a general manager. And both of those things definitely apply to Campbell, who was, of course, had that interim head coaching experience along with working with one of the best general managers in the NFL in Mickey Loomis, and one of the best coaches of all time in Sean Payton. Big takeaway here is that Sean Payton's coaching tree is expanding. Finally, it's actually happening. Something that I'm shocked we haven't seen much of before, with guys like Pete Carmichael, Joe Lombardi, Dan Rauscher never really getting much attention in the offseason. Campbell will bring some knowledge with him from New Orleans. One of the reasons that he said to have taken a job in New Orleans anyway, to learn from Sean Payton in case he ever got another shot as a head coach, and he gets it here. Campbell will officially accept the job on Wednesday after finishing exit interviews with Saints tight ends to review their 2020 performance, and it'll be interesting to see how the Saints will fill his position. I imagine that they're going to go outside the facility for somebody with extensive experience to help continue the impressive development of 2020 draft pick Adam Trautman, who they have big plans for in the future. Now let's get to the one that's a little bit, let's just say, more uncertain at the moment over on the defensive side, as this complicated situation continues to develop. Defensive coaches in New Orleans always seem to get a little bit more attention. Dennis Allen, Aaron Glenn, Mike Nolan have all either interviewed for jobs, been offered jobs, or have taken jobs elsewhere, and now defensive line coach Ryan Nielsen is next, but whether or not he'll be able to take the gig that he's being offered remains to be seen. Nielsen is expected to be hired as LSU's defensive coordinator, a position that he's not held before outside of a co-coordinator position or role at Northern Illinois in 2012. So Nielsen has been with the New Orleans Saints since 2017 when he came over from NC State. He's led the Saints to be the best run defense over that span and also pile on 187 sacks in those four division-winning seasons with 187. He's also got several NC State defensive linemen into the pros as well. A fantastic hire, honestly, for LSU, even though they do have a little bit of a risk here pairing a first-time defensive coordinator with a first-time offensive coordinator. But Nielsen and head coach Ed Orgeron go way back, and they worked together a bunch. Nielsen was a player of Orgeron's back at USC, and they also served on the same staff at the University of Mississippi years later. Now, the two are set to pair up again as long as the contract language can be altered, agreed upon, or worked out in some way, because right now, current contractual language, a current contractual agreement, does not allow Nielsen to leave the New Orleans Saints for an NCAA coaching job. However, I kind of expect that this is going to get worked out all together, eventually allowing him to join LSU staff. It just seems to be that the Saints front office has always been supportive of coaches and staffers getting opportunities elsewhere, and it'd be weird to see them all of a sudden change course at this point before this offseason. Replacing Nielsen, though, will be very challenging, and it's going to be a very important task in the offseason for the New Orleans Saints if he does end up leaving for LSU, as the Saints do have a lot of young linemen to continue to develop, some free agent linemen to persuade to return, and some future linemen, of course, to bring into the fold. And Nielsen's ability to identify talent and develop it are going to be sorely, sorely missed. So the Saints will be working hard this offseason to fulfill at least four roles with Terry Fontenot, their director of pro personnel, or excuse me, assistant GM of pro personnel, heading to Atlanta. The two roles combined of assistant head coach should they decide to bring one on, as well as tight ends coach, which will be vacated by Dan Campbell, and then potentially defensive line coach, a very important position for what has been the strength of the Saints defense since Ryan Nielsen joined the staff in 2017. So some big decisions continue to pile on for the New Orleans Saints, not the least of which being one big decision that every Saints fan is waiting to hear more definitively an answer to, and that is the potential retirement of Drew Brees this offseason. Once he announces his retirement, you're going to hear a lot of people rush to the podium to tell you, "I told you so." But more important than that is what will be said about Drew Brees and his legacy once the dust settles. That's what we're going to talk about next here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And while LSU looks to take a little bit of a gamble and bringing in Ryan Nielsen, and again, pairing in two first-time coordinators on the offensive and defensive side, seems that is something that they are more than comfortable enough to bet on. And if you have some things that you're comfortable enough to bet on, I'm going to tell you where to do it. And the one and only place that has you covered, and the one and only place that we trust, BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On to get your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline actually just released all of the lines for the potential Super Bowl matchups, with the widest spread being Kansas City -3.5 over Tampa Bay. If Tampa Bay makes it to the Super Bowl, I'm sure that Saints fans would love to see them end up getting stomped by either the Buffalo Bills or the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you want to put some money down on that, betonline.ag is the place for you. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, family, don't forget to check out Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Make sure that your bets never have to be a guessing game with Locked On Bets. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. All right, so it is Locked On Saints, y'all. Thank you very much, as always, for being here with us. Talked a little bit about Dan Campbell, Ryan Nielsen in the first segment. Now I wanted to kind of bring us back a little bit to more of a legacy look at Drew Brees. We talked a bit about his what could potentially be his final performance, the loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. Talked a little bit in general about how he spent the evenings, how some of the body language, all those other things. But I want to make sure that I come back to Drew Brees, and I will a couple times throughout this week, because it's important to really try to dedicate as much time as possible in terms of having this conversation around Drew Brees, because it's important for the franchise, but it's also important to recognize Drew Brees' legacy. And I think you're going to hear a lot about Drew Brees' legacy probably throughout the offseason. And there's a lot of reason to be excited about that, because it's an incredible legacy, but there's also a lot of reason to sort of be wary of that. Because I do think that there will be a lot of folks that are going to, as I mentioned earlier, rush to the podium to try to signal their "I told you so" ticks about Drew Brees being washed, Drew Brees being done far before this final game of his season, even though he helped take the team to the playoffs 4 years in a row, yada, yada. And I just want to encourage people not to focus as much on that when you hear it. It's not worth getting worked up about. It's not worth trying to defend that. The dust will settle around Drew Brees and all of the hot take things that you're going to hear about him over the next few months, more than likely, before things kind of reach a sense of normalcy as the rest of the NFL season picks up and the other narratives become more important and things like that. And then things will start to arise again once he is, eligible for his first ballot Hall of Fame status, which I do think he will get. And I think that he deserves. You can throw around all of the, he doesn't have two Super Bowl rings all you want, and it doesn't matter, right? You look at all the other things that he accomplished throughout his career, the 4,000 or 5,000 yard passing seasons, the remarkable records as late as three seasons into, three of the four seasons, which would be at the end of his career if he does retire, in which he reset again, or at least continue to get close to the completion percentage records, his first, him being the first player in NFL history to throw for over 80,000 yards, the most completions in NFL history, all of that still belongs to Drew Brees. And I think all of that will, end up dressing his gold jacket at a later time. And Luke Braun and I talked a little bit more about all of the accolades that will get him there, all the arguments that you might hear in favor of or against, more importantly, Drew Brees in those conversations over on Locked On NFL today. And so I'm not going to focus as much on those, but I do think that when we look back on Drew Brees' career, you do have to acknowledge a successful one. His 15 seasons with New Orleans, never a record worse than 7-9. And those three did happen over three straight seasons, 2014, 15, and 16, but very clearly not on his volition, right? Those were historically bad defenses in those years that sort of squandered away remarkable performances by him, to where he threw for 4,900 yards, 4,800 yards, 5,200 yards, and more than 30 passing touchdowns in each of those three seasons, completing league-leading and attempting league-leading completions and attempts throughout those seasons. And so always an incredible thing. This is a guy that threw 673 passes in 2016 and completed 70% of them, only to come back the next year and complete 72, the year after that, 74.4, and the year after that, 2019, 74.3. He'll finish this season with around a 70.5, according to Pro Football Reference. So he's been above that 70% completion mark for the last 5 years of his career. You know all of the other accolades that he has, been a part of and that he's done. And before anybody comes to you and makes the argument about, hey, he needs two rings or Eli Manning is better, remember that Eli Manning finished with a 500 win rate. Drew Brees finishes 172 in terms of wins versus 114 in terms of losses. So a far more winning quarterback, including 49 wins over the last four seasons, the best in that era or during that time. And unfortunately, the best to not win a Super Bowl during that time. There's all the playoff conversations. There's all the what could have been conversations that are, of course, going to be a part of the narrative and that are going to be very, very heavy for the next couple of weeks. But rest assured that you're not crazy when you think of what it is that Drew Brees did in his career. When you remember it fondly, it makes perfect sense, and you're right. And things will eventually settle. Things will eventually get back to, like I mentioned, that sense of normalcy. And then maybe some of these things will arise at another time once he is voted into the Hall of Fame, or once he is selected and initiated into the Hall of Fame as a first ballot Hall of Famer, which again, I believe he absolutely should be, considering some of the accolades that we just talked about. And of course, much more that belonged to him as well. So certainly expect it, but I wouldn't give too much merit to any of that criticism that's going to come out sort of unwarrantedly. Yeah, that's right. Unwarrantedly against him early on. Now, what's next for Drew Brees if he does indeed retire at the end of this season? And the answer there is simple. He's going to be headed over to NBC. He already signed a contract to be a part of the booth analyst there. So you'll still see him on Sunday night football with NBC. You'll see all of that, or however all the new TV deals are going to work next season. Perhaps some of those scheduling things change and television channels change and things like that. But you will see him. Eventually, there, of course, will be a game that will be in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome next season, in which he will be one of the head commentators on. They will purposefully do that, I do believe, in 2021, and he'll, I'm sure, share some incredible stories and recollect very fondly looking back upon his time as a New Orleans Saint. This is all, of course, assuming that he does indeed retire, which again, I feel like is likely. You all know that from the very beginning of the season, I've mentioned that Drew Brees, this feels like his last year, and there's no profundity to that. It's just simply that it wouldn't surprise me if it does indeed happen, but you'll still see him in the Superdome because I'm sure NBC and the NFL will be smart enough to put one of those Saints games on that channel to make sure that he ends up commentating a Saints game at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. But all in all, enjoy being able to look back at a pretty phenomenal career. Luke Braun and I, again, we dove a little bit deeper into it over on Locked on NFL, so go and check it out. Luke and I, obviously very respectful when it comes to Drew Brees and everything that he has done for the NFL and, of course, the franchise for the New Orleans Saints. So the next thing that we're going to take a look at is we'll go back and take a look at that performance on Sunday night, the dreaded performance on Sunday night. We'll look at it briefly, but also take a look at a snapshot in the analytics in terms of some of the top performers for the New Orleans Saints in the 2020 season. We'll get to that here in just a moment here on Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And look, y'all, that Sunday night game was an absolute clunker, a jalopy, if you will. And if I could, I would go ahead and repair it and make it all better for everybody. But unfortunately, we can't do that. But if you got a jalopy, if you have a clunker in your driveway, I can definitely help you out with that with our good friends over at rockauto.com. They're a family business. They have been incredible helping families online and auto parts customers online for over 20 years. You can go and check them out. Chain stores have all these different prices for professional mechanics or do-it-yourselfers, but at rockauto.com, the prices are always the same for everybody and are reliably low. And they always offer the lowest prices possible rather than charging on prices based upon what the market will bear, just like airlines do. That's not what Rock Auto does. They're not about that. They're for everybody, and it does not require any type of membership or account login. So go and check them out, rockauto.com. You store in your make, your model, the year of your car, whatever the part is, and they're going to give you several different prices to have them shipped directly to your door. They're outstanding. And best of all, those prices, I can't stress this enough, reliably low and all the same, whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer. So why spend twice as much for the same parts when you can go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck? Just make sure that you write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section so that they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts that your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. For some NFL teams, including the New Orleans Saints, now the games may be over, but the work is just beginning. Join Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak over at the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast every Tuesday as they start their Team Takeover Tuesday offseason series. Each week, they pick a new team, take a deep dive into the potential front office and head coaching hires, a full roster review, free agent strategies, and go through a team-centric mock draft. That's every Tuesday over at the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. All right, wrapping up today's episode, y'all. We want to go ahead and stay true to our final Analytics Tuesday here before we flip the script next week. And I'll start programming for our offseason programming, because remember, we're not going anywhere. No offseason here at Locked On Saints. So we're just going through, there is an offseason, but we're not taking any breaks, right? We're covering it all the way through. And don't forget that next week, I'll also be at the Senior Bowl as well. So I'll be able to get you some early looks and some early information on some of the draft prospects hitting the draft this season. Heisman Trophy winner Devonta Smith, wide receiver Alabama, is going to be there. Pretty exciting stuff. So we'll have a whole bunch coming up next week for all of that, and we'll begin our offseason programming. Lots of fun on the way, but we're going to wrap up our final Analytics Tuesday with a look at this loss against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to eliminate the Saints from playoff contention, or not playoff contention, but in the playoffs. After making it for the fourth straight season. So we'll take a look at Drew Brees' performance to start us off. 72% completion percentage when Drew Brees was kept clean, 18 of 25 for 118 yards, and unfortunately one interception, but also had two drops, so it could have been 20 of 25. His adjusted completion percentage was an 83.3 when not under pressure, NFL pass rating 65.1. However, when under pressure, which was only on 9 snaps, but the Buccaneers did a good job making something of those 9 snaps, although they did not come up with an interception over those. Drew Brees only 1 of 9. He was able to get a pass off each of those snaps, but was not only able to complete 11.1 completion percentage, completed that for 16 yards and a touchdown, but also through 2 interceptions. That's where the Bucs really maximized the effectiveness on pressure. 1 pass was batted down at the line of scrimmage, 1 drop as well. So only in 25% adjusted completion percentage and a 37.0 NFL passer rating when Drew Brees was under pressure. Not much of a better day under pressure, you might say, for one Tom Brady either when he was under pressure, which is only on 7 different snaps. He did get a sack, though. He was actually sacked. Drew Brees was not sacked in this game. Tom Brady only completing 1 out of 6 passes out of the attempts that he got off for 8 yards, 39.6 passer rating, 16.7 adjusted completion percentage. But all told, he was 17 of 27 for 191 yards and 2 touchdowns with a 108.7 NFL passer rating when he was not pressured during that time. He also had 3 drops there, so his adjusted completion percentage was 74.1. Brady also completed only 1 of his 7 attempts beyond 20 yards from the line of scrimmage. It was 129-yard pass down the outside right sideline. That was the only one of those that he completed. Drew Brees, though, didn't attempt a single one beyond 20 yards. Not a lot of opportunity for him to have any of that time for those plays to develop. And he wasn't as reliable as he has been beyond 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, only attempting 8 passes beyond 10 yards, but completing only 3 of those. So struggled a lot, what with pressure and with the man-to-man coverage and cover 2, all these things that make it a little bit tougher to be able to move the ball through the air. And then, of course, the turnovers not allowing the game to really get in control, or not allowing the Saints to ever really get in control of the game so that they could continue to control exactly that and that pace. Now let's take a look real quick at the pressure allowed for the New Orleans Saints during this. As we mentioned, only 7 dropbacks, which Drew Brees credited as being under pressure. However, 10 total pressures allowed. Remember, more than one pressure can happen on a play. The most pressures in this game given up by one Andres Pete. Oh, I know y'all are going to love that. 4 pressures given up by him in total, 2 hits, 2 hurries. 3, though, given up by Andres Pete, who also committed a penalty that was accepted. 2 hurries and 1 hit for him. Cesar Ruiz only allowing 1 pressure in this one, but again, struggled mightily in the run game, which is still out of the ordinary for him. So you saw him hit a bit of a rookie wall on a season that wasn't as productive to begin with, but unfortunately, that rookie wall came in the run game, which did not work out very well against the number one best running attack or running defense in the NFL. Eric McCoy also allowed a pressure, and Ryan Ramczyk allowed a pressure. Both of those hurries, but no hits or sacks allowed by them, and no sacks allowed by the Saints offensive line. Now, let's take a look over on the defense, take a look at the coverage for the New Orleans Saints. We like to take a look at these. Oh, and actually, we could look at pressure as well. 9 dropbacks under pressure, 9 total pressures for the New Orleans Saints. So not a very, not a lot of multiple pressures coming on in this game. Of course, you did see DeMario Davis get 1 sack. He had the lone sack on the day. Your best pressure totals came from him and David Onyemata up the middle, who we knew would have a good day. Shy Tuttle, Malcolm Brown, Marcus Davenport, Trey Hendrickson, and Cam Jordan all with 1 pressure of the hit or hurry variety on their side. Now we'll take a quick look at coverage. The best coverage percentage given up, 33.3. Only 1 of 3 targets allowed to be caught by Marshon Lattimore. Unfortunately, that catch did go for a touchdown, but it was only a 3-yard touchdown. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson with a great game, allowing only 3 catches on 7 targets, a 42.9 reception percentage, and only 31 yards given up, no touchdowns during that. We also had Marshon Lattimore, who had 2 pass breakups, and the 3rd pass breakup for the New Orleans Saints came from Malcolm Jenkins, who allowed only 3 catches for 32 yards on the day, along with the PBU, and a 66.0 NFL passer rating when targeted. Alex Anzalone struggled a bit, 4 catches allowed on 7 targets for 47 yards and a touchdown, a 117.3 NFL passer rating. And DeMario Davis gave up the largest reception percentage, but not really that bad of a day for him, despite the fact that he allowed 4 catches on 5 targets, only 32 yards, the longest being an 11-yard catch and a 93.3 NFL pass rating, no touchdowns. So even though he gave up a larger percentage than anyone else, didn't really give up any yardage off of that. And to wrap us up here, in 2020 performances, the Saints still finished with a top 5 defensive EPA, number 4 in the NFL there. So they did stay true to their goal to be a top 5 defense across multiple categories. No change with that from the regular season numbers. And then they finished with the 12th ranked offense when it came to EPA as well. And in our other favorite go-to analytic, DVOA from Football Outsiders, they still have the number 1 total DVOA at 33.3% above the league average, with a 2nd ranked defensive DVOA and a 7th ranked offensive DVOA. And just for old time's sake, because we haven't talked about them enough, I thought it'd be fun to end on the top 5 Pro Football Focus grades on offense and defense for the 2020 season for the New Orleans Saints. You've got Teron Armstead at number 1 with an 84.9, incredible season by him. Looked like one of the best players in the NFL toward the end of the year. Alvin Kamara with an 81.8, phenomenal season for him, nearly a 1,000-yard rusher. Latavius Murray, who also had a great year, 81.4, Deontay Harris with a 79.9 as he continues to develop, and Michael Thomas, although he didn't get to play a ton, still a 79.6 and rounds out the top 5 over on the offense. Over the defensive grades, David Onyemata, shout out underpaid David Onyemata, 88.8, Cam Jordan with an 84.7, even though he dropped off a bit in his pass rushing grade, his run defense really helped to keep his season up high. This is just hysterical. Ken Crawley, 84.2. Go ahead, get your 11 snaps on and get in a top 5 grade there. JT Gray, same thing. 20 snaps for him, 78.7. Marcus Williams finishing with a 78.6. He had a big time prove it year. And then let's just throw 2 more in there since we had Ken Crawley and JT Gray in there. DeMario Davis with a 77.9 and Marcus Davenport with a 74.8. Round out your top 7 or top 5, depending on how you want to look at it on the Saints defensive side for the 2020 season. Now, for some of those names, you're going to be wondering, are they coming back? For some of those names, you're going to be wondering next year, are they going to perform as well, or are they going to get even better? There's a lot to figure out here over the offseason, and the one place you're going to get episodes every single Monday through Friday, all offseason long, is here at Locked On Saints. So I appreciate you, as always, for coming through. We'll be back tomorrow with our Film Watch Wednesday, taking a look at 3 impactful plays from Sunday's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're going to keep it positive and have a good time, as well as our Mailbag Wednesday, as always, which you can participate in by going to facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints. Thank y'all, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. I will holler at you tomorrow. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust to that nation. I'll holla at you.